Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
¿Qué pasa, campeones? And welcome to the Churros y Tácticas podcast. You might be surprised of me starting today's podcast, but yes, as we did agree upon, if Barça Femení was going to beat Real Madrid over the weekend, then I was going to do the intro. And I, in fact, I'm the one that offered this, right? The one that put that this let's say, deal on the table, and Kian took it. So here I am doing the Churros intro. After what has been a tumultuous week, Kian, boisterous. I'm trying to come up with some words.
These words are getting out of control.
Yes. And that's how it's felt. Honestly, since we last hit record, it feels like things have been getting out of control. But at the same time, very interesting as well. Following our Messi being greater than Cristiano debate. Anyway, to get back on track, we got a lot to get through today. We got a lot to talk about, rehash. Kian is back in Canada as well. And we, of course, have to discuss this weekend's results, which has a lot to do with the current mood that is set in. I'm in no mood for celebrations or rolling R's as I'm watching this friendly, the Maradona Cup, take place over in Saudi Arabia, which sees Barca play this friendly against Boca Juniors. In the memory of the deceased legend that is Diego Maradona. ¿Qué pasa, campeones? Welcome to Churros. Let's get into this. Kian, what's up, my friend? How are you doing? Jet lag okay? You're back from Madrid, the derby. You must be feeling good.
Feel great. I mean, it's the interesting thing about very short trips. I'm doing shorter trips, right? Like, I'm not doing like 5 days, weeks anymore. I used to do long trips. But, you know, I don't like to be away from the kids. So, I got to Spain Saturday morning, and I left Spain Monday morning at the crack of dawn. The cool thing about going like at that pace across the ocean and back is that you don't really feel the jet lag as much. It's just kind of in and out, and it's just a blur, and you get there. And I had a great time because just jam-packed, you know, the game, the podcast, and straight back to the airport. It was, you know. But
it must be surreal almost, right? Like, I remember when I was a kid, I used to think, like, imagine if just instant time travel was possible and you just, like, snap your fingers and you're in a different place, different culture altogether. That's pretty much what it's like coming from different time zones, especially if you get to sleep, of course. You know, I've never been the person that just hit the seat and sleep, but my wife is, my dad always been as well. And it just means that you go to sleep and you wake up in a completely different environment, and it's almost surreal, right? I mean, you have that jet lag. Do you still suffer from jet lag?
Again, with these, I do, generally speaking, but not on this trip. I think that's the privilege of living in 2021. You can take a nap and then wake up in a different continent. Whereas, you know, when our parents were kids, let's say before planes existed, you'd have to get on a horse or a car, and then like a month later, maybe you'd be in the other side of the country. I'm going way back for absolutely no reason. By the way, on Friday, so what we actually, it wasn't just like, we already knew Barcelona's women's team was going to beat Real Madrid Femenino. So it was a foregone conclusion that you were going to do the intro regardless, because there was no way that we were going to win that game. But I will say, and I didn't see the game yet. I still want to watch it. I'm planning on watching it. Who knows with, you know, if I'll be able to. But I was expecting...
You about it if you want and save you the trouble, Kian.
Well, just that... before you say anything, first of all, it was a great... I was talking to Nils, who, you know, was sitting with me, Presto, at the Athletic game. And he was there at the game. And he said it was, you know, great atmosphere at Valdebebas jam-packed stadium, which was nice to see. And I was expecting like 7-0 or 10-0, and it was only like 4-1 or something. So, you know, I think we were all surprised it wasn't a bigger bloodbath. So, but you still got to do the intro.
You know what? I think everyone was.
Yeah.
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 But I mean, Barca was leading by 3 goals to nil before Madrid got one back, and you know, they're kind of. I mean, these ladies are just something else, man. It's it's, you're talking an undefeated, not just undefeated, excuse me. It's at this point, I mean, 13 match days in, you know, what is that? Another 6 almost tomorrow in the Champions League. So you're talking a win streak so far of, you know, do the math, 19 wins. 19 consecutive win. It's the Jonathan Girardi's team. The ladies are only winning, picking up points in threes. And you just don't see them slowing down or stopping. Obviously, the big question will be the latter stages of the Champions League, which, you know, we've got a lot of fucking cover, man. I mean...
Yeah, it's been a busy one. And look, as we said on Friday's episode, you know, Barca Femenino are playing a different sport altogether. It's just they're on a different universe, and we already talked about it. We got a lot to talk about today. So... there's the draw, there's the results. I will say, you know, watching the Osasuna-Barca game...
I thought you were referring to the Osasuna-Barca before. That's why I said I can save you the trouble. I didn't realize you were talking
about... No, that one I did watch. Okay. So tell me, what were you going to say when you told me to save the trouble? So, like, what was your analysis of that game?
No, well, I was texting you during the game because I was watching it late.
Yeah.
And I said, no spoilers.
Yeah.
And right at that moment, was it Garcia, right?
He got Danny Garcia scores the header.
Danny Garcia. Yes, right after, you know, Nico gets his very first goal for the first team.
Well, but talk me through it, though. You're not saying enough. Were you encouraged at all about anything?
Dude, I don't know, man. It's been a funny time, Kian. Like, I've been, you know, emotionally a little bit... if you want to say under the weather, I don't know, but it's just been an emotional time in all areas of life. Whereas like my escape used to be, for a while at least, used to be Barca, but not even there am I able to find some peace and rest. And that is, of course, my job as well. And then there's a whole circus surrounding that as well. So I don't know. It's I live these games very emotionally. They're emotionally charged games. These are emotional times. And it was like, I mean, walk you through it, you know, from a tactical perspective, it's so hard because it's, you feel like there is a change, of course, being bestowed upon this team by the hands of Xavi, and certain positive aspects are certainly visible, where you see a team trying to, you know, take initiative, and opponents have the balls, spread the pitch, use the wingers a lot, you know, trying to take an offensive, initiative to the game, where you take the ball to the opponents, you defend with the ball as well. But it's just not, it's obviously not an issue product yet. That's a foregone conclusion as well. And when we talk about those, is that this is sort of still preseason for Xavi, yet he's playing with a massive disadvantage where he has a team that is, you know, whether half of it have bad habits from having played under, you know, questionable conditions and having instilled a sort of philosophy in a dressing room that has clearly not benefited the team. And, you know, old habits die hard with many of these players. And then you have new players that are still... quite frankly, taking, you know, being an example for a lot of these more veteran players as well. You look at Gabi, you look at Nico, you look at Abde as well. Three players that, quite frankly, and again, whether we believe the reports or not, have to be saved and have to be spared from any sort of criticism, because they are showing that intensity and that willpower to succeed and you know, win the game, go for the game without any complejos and any complexes or inferiority complex or questions or, you know, doubts that, I mean, you see so many players that have so much talent that, you know, could produce better football, convincing football, good, you know, good quality football consistently, yet they're making so many errors and mistakes, or even lacking in something as basic as intensity, as Xavi himself addressed in the post press conference, right? That, yeah, it just, to get to your question, you know, walk you through, it's just very hard to analyze these games without getting emotional about it if you care so much for this team. And it was you know, a gut punch one after the other, the old 1-2, right? Obviously with the 1-0 and then the 2-1 as well, to then see Chimi Avila. Kian, how many times have I talked big about Chimi? You know, he's one of my favorite players. I was so excited when, before his knee injury, that kept him sidelined for far too long. He was linked with Barca. That was when before Braithwaite came in, right around that time. And I was like, oh my God, if we can get Chimi in. I was happy for him, quite frankly, and happy for these Osasuna fans as well, because this Haddad is just, it's an awesome stadium, man. It's just a great football stadium where these kind of matches are quite frankly awesome, intensely lived, and it's great football. You know, people call this a farmers league, or don't give any merit to, you know, points being taken away from teams like El Sadar in a stadium like that. Quite frankly, don't love the game of football. If they want to not consider these big games and important games and where league titles are won, then so be it. If they only want to include, or call knockout stage games big games and important games, and so be it. But anyway, I digress.
Yeah, I digress. Osasuna are an annoying team to play against, and we all want them in La Liga, partly because El Sadar is such a great atmosphere, and it brings so much to La Liga. Chimi Avila, man, the game is just never over when he's on the field. It's amazing. He's such a great story. We all were broken when he suffered his injury. Now that he's back and he's doing things like this, I mean, it was an incredible story. And I mean, part of the reason I wanted you to talk me through it, because, you know, obviously when you texted me that, I didn't respond about the game because you said no spoilers. So I was like, well, I'll let you watch. I think at that game, the game wasn't actually over. I think in my feed, maybe it was 2-1 at that point, or maybe it was 1-1. Okay. I wasn't sure. But when it's 2-1, I was like, he'll be fine. They're going to win this game. And they probably should have. And I mean, they should always beat Osasuna, let's be honest. But on the run of play, you guys were the better team. But it is weird because when I was watching this, I actually felt that because Osasuna to me were so bad defensively. You see them defend in a 4-1-4-1 block, and it was just was not compact at all. It was vulnerable. You saw that, you know, players like Nico could get into these channels pretty easily. By the way, if you want some silver linings, I'll give you a couple, or just at least things to be happy about. Nico and Abde really impressed me. I think Abde's really grown on me, because at first when I saw him, I was like, this is a very eager kid. He's talented. I think he overdoes it a little bit, I actually think that that's right now. It's a good thing to be over eager for a kid like that, because Barca needs some initiative. Like, he's taking players on. He's not afraid. Yeah. He's a good line breaker. Mm-hmm. His touches are really beautiful. He's playing with a bounce and a swagger and a confidence that Barcelona could use. I thought he was a real positive. I actually think he's starting to convince me that, you know, after Ansu, should he be the other winger starting, even if everybody's healthy? Maybe. Like
right now, Kian, how can you not have him start, you know? Yeah. He's an energizer buddy. And I completely sign on. You just said that you initially felt this like eagerness, overzealousness, you know, willingness to or need, want to impress. But that's exactly what the team needs. That's exactly what Xavi asked for from these players. And it's what you're going to get from this fresh, new, young crop of young bloods, young guns that want to, shine on the biggest stage. And you know, they know that they are playing for the team that they have always dreamt to play for, you know, from this is their mission, right? This is their mission to play for the Barca first team in this case. And they're not going to let this opportunity get by them. Some players, you know, have maybe forgotten or have lost that passion, which is also kind of normal with the passing of years. But it's inexcusable for a club like Barca. That's why, you know, like we talk about, hard and harsh decisions have to be made. And on basis of this, you know, you have to say that your Gavis, your Nicos, your Abdes right now are must starters in Xavi's 11. There's no doubt about it.
I think that's about right. I mean, they're playing with a certain hunger right now, which reminds me a little bit of the hunger that, you know, when Real Madrid were initially started their rebuild after Ronaldo left and Solari started to bring in the Reguilons, the Viniciuses, the Llorentes. It kind of reminds me of that, where it's like, it just seems like the bellies are full for everyone else, but these kids, they're starving. They want to go out and they just want to beat people, right? It kind of reminds me of that. Anyway, so I thought Nico was good. I thought Abde was really good too. I think part of the problem was that you guys didn't capitalize and create enough chances on that battle. It was just on a defense. I mean, you know, those two goals were really good attacking sequences. But beyond that, how much were you guys able to create? And I think the other part of the problem is like the set piece defending from Barca was really poor. And, you know, on like Real Madrid level poor. Real Madrid have been disastrous defending set pieces. David Garcia, he was completely free for that header. It's just one of those games that you should have won based on probably the balance of play, but it was kind of weird just looking at it because I just felt like at times it felt like Osasuna and Barcelona were almost equals going at each other, and it's really weird seeing Barca like this, man. I don't know what else to say. I would be sarcastic or jinx it, but like this is it was poor. So I, you know, there's still a lot of time left. It's funny because I'm going to drag Real Betis into this discussion out of nowhere, but we were talking about, like, Lucas and I were talking about Barca, they'll get into the top four, and I was like, I think they will, partly because I don't expect Real Sociedad to sustain their top four place. They'll cool off, and they are cooling off, they have been cooling off, but I expect Sevilla and Atletico to be there in the top four. So I think Barca will sneak in, but Real Betis coming out of nowhere now and playing amazing football, just playing smacking Real Sociedad over the weekend. And so there's another one to worry about there. But
we shouldn't be fully surprised neither, because Pellegrini, despite of his bad reputation from his time at Real Madrid, is a fine coach.
He is a very good coach.
And his players, he's got tactically very good players, with Fekir, not even... You know, having been gone, obviously, having been out, missing as well.
Yeah, so Juanmi also on fire.
Yeah, they just re-signed Canales, I think. Put him on also a billion euro buyout clause.
Basically telling everyone to stay the F away from this kid. I mean, he's not even a kid anymore. He's like 30, but...
No, you know. Yeah. But that's cool. And... No, look, and you know, it's like it was happened with Celta as well, with the Iago Aspas scoring the 3-all. Mm-hmm. Again, it's like this is a reoccurring pattern right now. Barca are in trouble. There's no doubt about it, and things are not good. It's like I said, and on the last pod, I don't know if we hit rock bottom yet, and that is the most worrying part. Was after that defeat against Bayern, then accepting Europa League, which, you know, let's move on to that topic at some point in time. Because we also need to talk about that, right? I mean, it's Barca are in Europa League. Things are just not good right now. And we've drawn a team like Napoli, who, quite frankly, are quite possibly the worst team that we could have drawn. Like, I mean, it's you look at the teams that we could have possibly have drawn. You know, you had Bragas, you had your Eastern European teams. Not that any of them, Rangers, not that any of them would have been... easy, but we had Lazio as well. We had a bunch of Italian teams. So, but Atalanta, I believe. But the fact that obviously it's Napoli is not great for us. And like I said, I mean, right now, thank God this game will be played in 2 months, where Xavi will have more time to instill his football philosophy, work with his players. You know, we have the winter. Get some players back, man. And we're still missing Pedri and Ansu, let's not forget, for crying out loud. You know, our two best players. It'll be interesting to see how Pedri is going to slot into this you know, midfield as well. Given the great performances of Nico and Gavi, you know, I think we're going to see a midfield with Frankie on the bench, potentially, you know. So we'll see. Yeah. But, well, the point being is that Napoli will be very difficult, and I don't know if we can be considered favorites against Napoli.
I don't consider you favorites, but I don't know if I consider Napoli favorites either. I expect just two good games of football that will be entertaining. And hey, look, like, we joke about Thursdays in Europa League. Thursdays are going to be freaking bangers, man. Look at the amount of great games in the Europa League. There's a lot of good teams.
That is true.
And a lot of good games. I'm certainly going to watch on Thursdays for sure. It's going to be fun.
You're so kind. Thank you, Kian.
For sure. Best. Yes, absolutely. Europa League, man. It's a great tournament. I think I'll forget. So I just want to mention it now because we talked about Real Betis, but I just want to give some love to Canales and Juanmi. Like, Canales right now, fourth in progressive passes in the entire league. He deserves everything, all the praise he's getting. Whether we think the 1 billion euros is ridiculous or not, obviously no one's going to play that for a 30-year-old anyway. But good for Betis to be like, hey, man, this guy's ours. We don't care. And good for him, and he's one of
all
those people that one of those people you gotta be happy for. And Juanmi, second in the league in scoring right now, you know, it's really good to see a story like that as well come out of this league campaign. The draw, Europa League, Champions League. We can talk about the Champions League draw as well.
Hey. Oh, okay, so yeah, sorry. I'm keeping one eye on Boca Barça over here. But
what's the score?
No, the game is just starting. I'm 2 minutes
behind. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
But that was hilarious. Thank God we got something to laugh about. Thank fuck. We got something to laugh about, us culés, because we need a laugh. And that definitely gave us a big chuckle, man. That was... like, imagine being Butragueño. You're leaving, you know, this ceremony, the UEFA draw, Champions League draw. You're on your way to the airport.
I'm so glad you're loving this.
I'm just putting myself in Butragueño's shoes. It's funny, man. Yeah. Laugh a little. Come on.
I find it funny, too. I'm just amused that you're this amused.
Then you get a call. Then you call. What? This is unprecedented. This is never. We've never seen something like this before. What happened? So it was weird in and of itself. And then it was like he gets a call. He's like, "Hey, come back. We fucked up. We got to do the draw again." He's like, "What? You just turn the car. We'll explain when you get here. We got to do it again. Just come." And he's like, "No. I'm not coming. You got to come." He gets there. And you end up playing PSG. That is funny.
I've seen mostly culés laugh about this. Is it because you guys think that PSG will beat us, or like what's going on?
Oh, Kian, come on. I don't know why other culés are laughing.
That's a genuine question. Don't get mad about it.
As much as laugh. No, listen. I'm going to explain to you why this is so funny to me. Again, okay. I'm talking for me personally. I don't know why other culés are laughing. I'm super happy about this because, first of all, I know Madrid better, and I know never underestimate Real Madrid and always consider them favorites against whoever they play for, against.
Yeah.
But the way I see it, it's a win-win. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the teams I hate most is leaving the competition. So whether it's Real Madrid being knocked out early or fuck BSG, QSG, let's call them, being knocked out early, it's going to be a delightful experience. And I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to this game. You should know. I never underestimate. It's not here gloating, laughing that Real Madrid are going to guaranteed to be knocked out. Absolutely not. Make no mistake.
I was going to ask you about this because I wasn't sure how you would feel in general. Like, forget about how the draw went down, but just the fact that, you know, it's such a conflicting thing for everybody. I mean, for Real Madrid fans, for Barca, this whole PSG experiment, because, you know, we have Sergio Ramos coming back, and then, you know, you have Messi.
He's going to score.
Like, what is it going to be like for you if PSG beat Real Madrid, and then you see PSG.
Oh, good.
And really, like, so that'd there's, it, to me, it's like, so who's the lesser evil to you, but Real Madrid or PSG?
Look, right, you know I have nothing good to say about QSG.
Yeah.
So, nothing. And I'll hugely enjoy them seeing them get knocked out. I would hugely enjoy that.
even if it's like, you know, PSG led by Sergio Ramos, that sits well with you? And Nasser celebrating in the stands, that sits well? Okay.
You mean if they go through?
Yeah.
You mean if they knock out Real Madrid? If I was talking about seeing QSG, get knocked out. Yes, that would be delightful. It would be, I'll be creaming myself. Now, if they knock out Real Madrid, I'll be super happy too. Are you kidding me? Like, I love seeing Real Madrid get knocked out and lose, and you know, especially of the Champions League.
So this great. Is one thing that there's no, I have like no source on this. This is just pure speculation coming out of my brain. I think Real Madrid are annoyed about this, not because they had to do the redraw.
Butragueño is annoyed.
I think they're annoyed. I think they're annoyed not because of the redraw. I think they're annoyed because now they feel awkward about signing Mbappe in January before the game, and then having to sit in the box with Nasser and Florentino during the game when Mbappe is a Real Madrid player. I'm not kidding. I think that it would actually be like,
it's like you steal a girlfriend away from a dude and then you're both sitting together like at a theater or somewhere, like an event or something. You're seated next to each other.
It can work if you're charming enough and you have a good relationship, but we don't have those standards of between these two. I just expect Real Madrid is a type of club that will do things out of respect for other teams, and they'll like, we're not going to do this signing now. We'll wait till the two legs are over. I think that's a real thing. But in the draw in a vacuum. Mbappe. Florentino from in the stands. He's just sitting next to Nasser, giving him a handshake, and he opens his coat. There's like a heart, and he's like, "I love you, Kylian." The draw in a vacuum, I'm fine with. I think PSG can be beaten, obviously. I'm not saying whether that comes back to haunt me or not. I'm just saying from a pure analytical, right now, if you watch PSG play and you watch Real Madrid play, I have confidence beating this team. Things may change until February, I don't know. But that it's just, I'm fine with the PSG draw. I'm conflicted about seeing certain things.
Tell me you wouldn't have preferred Benfica, though, please.
Of course, yeah. Because, you know, and no matter how you spin it, no matter how bad PSG are playing, they can just, in literally the span of 4 seconds, Messi or Mbappe or Neymar can do something out of nowhere. And I don't, you know, that's, there's nothing you can even, you can do your best to contain that, but you know, if they get the ball in transition and you expect Militao and Mendy to do everything by themselves and to stop these attacks, it's, you know, it's worked up until now to a certain degree. Obviously, we're first place, but is it sustainable against a team like that who can do that to you in transition? I'm not looking forward to that necessarily, but I'm just saying, like, it's fine. We can get past this. But obviously, I would have preferred Benfica. I do want to also just quickly say for the other draws.
Can I just say two things, or you want to move on to other draws?
Go ahead if it's on topic. Yeah.
No, just it was really really funny as well. I read a comment somewhere when you drew Benfica. It was like a Madridista comment saying, "Come on, guys, let's avenge our Kule brothers and beat these guys for them." I thought that had me in stitches. That was cool. And then I just wanted to ask you how do you think Ramos will be received? How do you feel about him coming back and scoring in the 92nd minute to put PSG through?
That's probably going to happen because that's something that would happen to us. But so don't love that. How will he receive? I hope with rounds of applause. I hope that he's the greatest defender in our history, and he's
knowing done. The Madrid crowd though, knowing how you know they can whistle their greats.
What I would hope is that, like, so I'm thinking back to precedents of this.
You know, one comes to mind where I think it was Beckham, if I'm not mistaken, returning back to United, to Old Trafford as a Madrid player, obviously, and him getting applauded massively as before the whistle, before kickoff. And as soon as he touched the ball, those applauses went to boo. But it was almost, you know, cynical. It was funny. It was classic. It was gold, that typical British humor that it just made you laugh, you know, because he got the ovation. He got the respect that he deserved before the game. And then as soon as, you know, it's whistle, as soon as the game time, it was like boo. But like, that was
great. I don't remember facing Manchester United with Beckham in our team. Maybe it was with another player, like maybe it was when he was with PSG or Milan or something. I don't know. Or maybe I'm just drawing blanks. But either way,
I mean, shit.
I actually don't mind that in theory, because it's a good tactic. If you want to hit, you celebrate him, you respect him, but during the game, you obviously don't want him to beat you. You want to throw him off the game, go for it. It's a fair game. I don't know if Ramos would respond to that better because there are some players who, the way they're wired is that if you treat them with hostility, they're going to go to another gear and be like, F you, I'm going to have to put the performance of my life now because you did this. So I don't know psychologically how that would actually work on Ramos, but you know, I don't hate it in theory. I'm thinking about past precedents. I mean, Fernando Redondo got a fantastic reception with Milan when he came back to Real Madrid. He got a standing ovation when he was leaving the field. I would assume it's something like that. I mean, look, we don't even know if Ramos will play. Let's be honest.
Came back with Milan
to the Camp Nou.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
the Gamper, but
but I don't think it'll be booze. I'd be surprised. You know, it was weird the way he left. I wouldn't say he was blameless in it, but you know, mm-hmm. given the fact of his stature and stuff, it would shock me. Other draws. Really happy for Villarreal to luck into Juventus.
Oh, that was great. That was great. I loved, there was this thing they were around. I'm on like this social media trip today, I noticed, but there was a meme that went around where, did you see that one that I posted on Instagram? You see Man City running after Villarreal. Yeah. Man City is the groom. Villarreal is the bride, and she jumps into the car with a Juve driver. Man City.
Come back. I think from a matchup perspective, that suits Villarreal pretty well. Given that the alternative opponents, and you know, Juve did well enough in the group stages, but they're struggling so badly in Serie A. Even last year when they had Ronaldo, they were struggling. We had Atalanta, Villarreal experience, and I think Atalanta are even a better team than Juve this season. And Villarreal took care of Atalanta. So I'm liking this. I'm liking this for Villarreal.
Juventus to also get better as the season progresses, though, because it's perhaps a little bit similar case to Barca, where they can strengthen in the winter market, and they've got good football players. So it's not going to be easy for Villarreal, but I think that, and Villarreal are very inconsistent and unreliable themselves. However, Emery is great in knockout games in these kind of tournaments. He proved that obviously with everything he won with Sevilla in the Europa League. So it's a great matchup, and Villarreal got good chances for sure.
We almost had Ronaldo versus Messi, and
yeah,
I'm so glad we avoided that. I just can't. I can't. Mm. I don't. I would have to just delete social media. I don't think I would be able to handle the discourse, the dialogue. It would be World War III.
What are you talking about? You thrived in the last time. In the last time we discussed this.
And do you know how much it took from me? It took from me in that. Podcast, it took from me. I was depleted. I was exhausted. I can't imagine doing that them against each other in the Champions League over two games. It would just be two fans massacring each other, two sets of fans massacring each other. I can't handle it. I don't want to see them actually play against each other ever again for that reason. They won't enjoy the dialogue one way or the other. But we'll see. Maybe we may have to bring it forward to the PSG versus Manchester United quarterfinal or something. I don't know. But how do you like Atletico versus Manchester United? Do you like that matchup for them?
Well, I'm happy as well for them, of course. I mean, they drew Bayern before. Talking about, you know, getting away with... I mean, Manchester United are in trouble right now as well. They're not playing great. There's all kinds of question marks surrounding their team as well. Obviously, they have Cristiano, who continues to be decisive for them, scoring clutch goals.
Scored a few.
Wink, wink. You like that? You like that? You like what I did there? You guys are happy now? You cunts? All right.
Jeez. My God. We got to post this online, man. You can't be using words like that.
It's good for Simeone. I don't know. But also for Cristiano to go back to the Wanda, and you know, he knows what that crowd is like, that stadium is like. He likes playing against Atletico. We you know, need to remember when he was playing at Juve, of course, knocking Atletico out. He loves playing in that stadium. So it's great to see that as well. I prefer that we avoided the Messi Cristiano matchup and got a Messi Bernabeu and Cristiano Wanda matchup instead. I think that you know, that's exciting, and hopefully we'll get out the best out of these two players, and hopefully we'll see in this case Atletico go through. I against Bayern, I would have not given them a chance. Against United, they've got a good chance.
Yeah, it goes
without saying. I was very disappointed over the weekend with Atletico, and I felt like Madrid looked so comfortable in the derby. It was annoying. It was awful.
That's interesting.
It's not what I expected.
I was at that game, and I can tell you, like, it got comfortable later on in the game, but there were definitely moments where Atletico looked like the better team. But there was that whole period, and I mentioned this to you and Chris, we were recording a podcast in person after the game, that like there was a whole period in the second half where it just felt like all of a sudden there was a gap between the two, because the Bernabeu was going crazy and Modric and Vinicius were doing all these touches and flicks and tackles, and there were all these olés all around the stadium, and it just felt like, I wouldn't say artificially, but somehow like there was, it just felt like the gap was bigger than maybe it really was when you zoom out and look at the stats and the numbers and everything like that. But I will say this, Diego, like during this Real Madrid win streak, I'd say for the first half of it, I felt that we were just kind of scraping by and we were getting some luck and opponents were missing chances. Courtois was coming up big. Militao and Casemiro were coming up big.
And still is.
And Uto still are.
Still coming up big.
Still are. And Vinicius is still doing his things. And Benzema's doing his thing. But I feel like in the last couple games, it feels like better. It feels real to me. I feel happy about the performances. Like I actually feel like this is a good team. And we actually have something cooking here. And I didn't necessarily feel that way like a month ago, you know. So something is brewing. And I'm extremely, 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 extremely cautious about it because I've seen this movie so many times before, as recently as 2015. And Ancelotti almost may have jinxed it after the game. He was like, let's not get carried away. We had a huge win streak in 2015 and then Modric got injured and the whole season fell apart. And I'm like...
jinx.
Yeah. I don't even want to think about it, but it is
Ancelotti. He's either cooking us something up, or I felt the same as you. I felt the same as you. I felt that this team was scraping points and scraping by through the famous Madrid Flor de Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
But lately, you do get a different sense that they have a much better control. Much more Militao in defense has been excellent, to my surprise at least. Obviously, mm-hmm. your midfield is still, you know, still cooking, and Vinicius is coming out of his own and being the player of La Liga so far. You know, I would say he was voted, I think, player of the
player of the month, November, right? Yeah,
player of the month. Yeah, Benzi. Scoring and everything. So no, it's look and look at the points as well. I mean, how many, you guys are 8 points ahead of second, 9 of third, I believe, 18, of course, of Barca.
I don't even understand that number. Do you understand that number? I don't understand it.
Well, yes, I do understand that, because Barca has been, you know, we've won leagues with 18 points distance from you guys. So I do know what it means. I understand it's new for you. Enjoy this feeling. I know it's awkward, but yes, it's
at this point of the season, though, Diego. It's not even Christmas break. It's December 14th. 18 points should not be allowed between anyone. You have to like rig the league to go 18 points ahead of anybody. Oh man, crazy stuff. I just don't understand it. Did you know I was looking at
like you said though, but that either plays in our favor or can really go against us if the gap continues to increase, or the fact that we still have time to make up ground. Hopefully.
I think you guys do have a game in hand, right?
We'll see if we hit breakbone.
So do. you could cut it down to a marginal 15 points.
15, baby. Come on,
doable. I was looking at the January schedule. Because someone was asking me, when do you think you'll come for the next game? And I was like, not going to do Cadiz. Maybe Valencia. But then I noticed that there was a Clásico in January.
The Supercopa, yeah.
Yeah, and I had either forgotten about it or didn't know that we were going to play each other in the semifinals or forgotten. I don't know, but there was a Clásico in January. In Sevilla. I might go to that one. So,
oh, there you go.
Are you worried that there was a Clásico in January? came out of nowhere, man. I don't know. So, yeah.
No.
You're not worried.
What am I going to be worried about?
All right. Nothing, I guess.
We'll see. We'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Yeah. Supercopa is one of those things that I hate the idea of, but when it comes, it's like there's always something fun about it. You know, there's
it's
always
like a little Christmas. It's like a little taste of post Christmas. It's like, oh, a little you forgot that little present.
It's like Boxing Day.
Yeah, it's like, hey,
it just comes out of it, just pops up, and it's like, oh, we have this now after the party. Yeah. All right. So I have to go soon. Do you have is there anything pressing that we miss?
0-0 over in. Riyadh.
The Maradona friendly?
News. Yes, the Maradona Cup. No news coming from Saudi Arabia.
Are we getting the Barca A team? Is it the superstars all starting? The Minguesas?
All the youngsters are.
All the youngsters?
I don't know. I don't have the starting 11 in front of me now. I don't.
I have it. I'm just doing a quick look because I'm just curious. I guess you can't really play a game in Saudi without bringing your eight. Dani Alves is starting. That's
cool. The big news, of course. Yeah. The fact that Jesus Christ, I should have mentioned.
Oh, you guys are actually resting a lot of players. So we have Ferran Blanc.
We got Puig.
On the right wing. We have Puig. We have Yusuf. Who is Alvaro Catalan? I don't know who that is. He's starting as your defensive midfielder.
Dest is playing.
Dest is playing. Is he playing on the left? That's what Google says. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You have Balde playing left back. Sounds like a banger, man. I should let you go so you can go watch that. That sounds great. So I'll do that. I'll let you go watch that. Seems like you're itching to go watch it, and you guys got to go talk about it on Barca TV probably. So I'm happy to end it here. Do you have anything else that we need to talk about?
Absolutely not.
All right.
Just that, I'm going to save that for myself. I'll say that another time.
For Friday?
No news. No, it's just like, wanted to know if you wanted to jump in the aftermath of, dude, this was big. I mean, this debate has set new records for Churros y Tácticas.
It was good marketing.
Was wondering whether we should discuss with our viewers the fact that this is not a level playing field, and I take issue with that.
So, a level playing field in terms of more Madridistas joining the discussion than culés, I'm assuming you mean, right?
Obviously.
Well, I don't know how to change that other than the fact that we need to get more culé listeners.
We need to get, you know, I never understood why SB Nation didn't want to pick up this pod, you know, when I was there for Barça Blaugranas. They were like, oh, this is insane. You're gonna, you remember like how the editor there was just working again, like didn't want to work with us, basically.
Even it wasn't SB Nation. It was Barça Blaugranas, right?
Barça Blaugranas, yeah. Yes, yes. SB Nation didn't want to put it on either.
Well, SB Nation, they were, when I talked to them, they were semi-open to it, but they basically had a rule. The rule was every site gets their own podcast, and there is no Spanish football section on SB Nation, so where are we going to put this one? So you guys just do it, but we're not going to do like put it on a specific blog. Just post it on Managing Madrid. But, you know, I will say like that. So the Xavi Modric tweet, that did some rounds. For the Churros account, I think it hit some records. The great thing about that tweet was that the next day the Kool-Aids found it, and they came like
three Kool-Aids. Stop making this.
No, they came in packs.
Did rounds in Kool-Aids Twitter.
It did rounds on like so. It, you know, it was like 300 when they're getting cornered. And then the Persian Empire is getting their number, and then all of a sudden Leonidas like calls in the other army, and they all jump from the mountain. It was like that. I think like one Kool-Aid Twitter account picked it up, and then the rest came. They all started jumping on, and they were jumping on Madridistas, and we like, and they really.
I didn't see that.
And oh yeah, go look at it. They took big offense to Modric being compared to Chavez.
As they should, obviously. Good.
Here we go.
I'm happy. It is insulting.
God, don't start this, man. I told you it was draining last time.
You said they took great offense. I'm just agreeing. But
I'm not sure. There's part of me that sometimes when it comes to this stuff, it's like, I don't even want any fans. I just want like nothing. I just want sometimes silence. Like we just put this out there and then the universe hears us and then no one can bark back at us. That would be nice. That would be, I think, like everyone just like, no, but, hey, look how important we are. Listen to what we have to say and now shut up and take notes.
Just take that.
Stop fighting.
Take that. No. I mean, look, we put this out for the people, and obviously we are just two more, you know, fans with opinions and thoughts that we want to share and put out there, whether it's communicated between you and I or a wider audience. I just feel like, you know, it's not as, let's say, gratifying to get all of the post-match or like the collateral damage after you put your heart and soul into this debate that, quite frankly, you feel like, look, it's irrefutable facts. I'm willing to still keep it up.
I hate when you do this, man, because you do this at the end of the podcast when there's no time for like to continue the conversation.
That's why I said
you're opening cans of worms now.
Okay. That's why I said I wanted to keep it for myself. But all I'm saying,
I didn't know it was that, but okay.
And I said from my perspective, putting out irrefutable facts, and I said I'm happy to listen to yours as well and have a debate about it, even get passionate about it. But then, you know, the post drama, I don't know the word to use this, but let's say the next day to then get all the ramifications from one side. It's just you're like, this is not a level playing field. This is not stop becoming a gratifying like experience discussing this to then have to put up with all the insults coming left and right, you know, questioning your credibility, even knowing that like I said, I put my job on the line quite often on this podcast. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to do so because I enjoy, you know, the conversations we have and also discussing with our community. But and I'm not saying it's your responsibility or your fault. That, I mean, you have a massive, obviously, Madridista following. You have an entire platform, one of the biggest fan sites in the world for Real Madrid, and the big accounts on two big accounts to back that up. And that's great. I mean, it's great for us. It's great for the podcast. Not so great for me after having these kind of debates, whether it's Xavi, Modric, or Messi, Cristiano, you know. But I'm a little speck in this because I'm not, you know, I have the 2,000 followers that I have, which is Es una mierda, es una caquita. Pues mira, pues hay que aceptarlo, and I accept it, you know. And I know that social media is filled with poison and trolls, and you need to have a thick skin to put up with that kind of stuff. And people that expose their opinions publicly need to view it as that and take it with a grain of salt. I just think it would be more interesting as well for the Churros y Tácticas community to have a more level debate where both sets of fans get involved, whether it's just me fucking holding the goddamn Barça torch and have to put up, you know, and defend my point against thousands and thousands of Madridistas that just spew hate and venom at me. Yeah, I'm like, you know what? Fuck this shit. Like, this is bullshit. This is bullshit. You just, I cannot win. Like, it's a lose-lose for sure.
Well, we gotta grow. We gotta grow the audience to.
We gotta grow
beyond Real Madrid fans. It is funny because when you think about it, this podcast, like Real Madrid, is like at the bottom of the topic list. You know what I mean? And Barca is the primary focus. But we do have Culés, so we do. You need the Culés to keep spreading to the other Culés. And I will say there was one guy on YouTube who had a Barcelona profile picture, and he said Ronaldo is better than Messi. So I suppose he does speak for every Culé. So I think that debate is settled there too. If you ask any Madridista, the common thing they'll say is that, like, they'll always preface it by saying, Diego, you know you're my favorite Culé. So you got,
I know that. I want to be friends with you.
But we do gotta ask our listeners to definitely raise their level of maturity in their dialogues and all that stuff for sure. So. For people have to understand, for Diego and I, when we get into these debates, it's like two brothers getting into a debate. You know, after the debate, we don't go and insult each other online. You know, we reconvene and it's the same.
We do,
you know,
that over WhatsApp.
Yeah, we talk some shit on WhatsApp and then we show up again and we do it again and again. It's a family. So, you know. Yes. So the listeners have to keep that in mind too. They don't need to also just get carried away and go crazy with all this. But as long as we keep it, you know, let's stick it to football. You know, we're good. All right, I have another podcast starting soon, bro. So I gotta go. But
go. And you know what? It's really I need to fix out. If somebody can help me understand why also the feed, the stream is so glitchy from my end, and I know that people have been complaining about that in certain comments as well. And you're right to do so. I need to figure that out. Because it's very annoying. Anyway,
that's it for today, folks. Yeah, okay.
Yes, if anybody could explain that.
Okay, thank you, man. Appreciate it, Diego. Nice haircut.
Thank you, dude.
We'll see you Friday over on patreon.com/churrositacticas. And if you want more controversial Twitter stuff, twitter.com/churrositacticas without the Y. Thanks, Diego. Take care, buddy.
Bye-bye. Sports Social Podcast Network.